a loyal listener is like being part of an exclusive club or a really weird cult. A tradition better than Sunday dinner with the family. Coming to you live from Atlanta, it's the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
A really weird cult. Could sort of be like that. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. If you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time, Rocket can. Rocket can. It really can. Love that. By the way, the gentleman said he's Brandon from Pennsylvania. There you go. Hi, Brandon from Pennsylvania. It's always good if you do that. That'd be nice of you. Just put your name to things. We're going to put our name to our NFL picks coming up. Anthony, you ready to declare a Super Bowl champion? Tell everybody who's going to win the playoff games and everything coming up?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to get to that coming up here on the show. Hang on for like another 5 minutes. I got a couple calls I want to get to. My buddy Ramon in Indianapolis joins us. Ramon, you're on the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Good morning. How are you?
How you doing, John? And thanks for my call. And
no problem, buddy.
I'll be brief. Thank you. You know, I'll be brief because I know you got a lot of stuff to do. As a middle 50s African American male born in Gary, Indiana, who was a 4-star athlete in high school, played a little college baseball, single A for the White Sox. Sports has always been in our blood. But I remember that period of time from Muhammad Ali. I was just born in 66, so I don't remember Russell and what went on with that thing
right there.
But I do remember the stress and strife of the late 60s, the 70s, Reagan in the 80s, Iran-Contra. Sports and life does not separate. I understand the woman's conversation, but I didn't hear anybody complaining when Tim Tebow took a knee all the time for his cause. And I'm not a Christian. I don't berate no one's religion. But I'm not a Christian. Why is his religion thrown up all in my face every time I watch football?
Let me ask you something about that.
I love Tim Tebow. I think he's a fighter. I love him.
But wait a minute, though. Ramon, wait a minute. Let's have a conversation. I'm a year older than you. So I'm a year older than you just for context. Tell me about the 80s and Ronald Reagan. And Iran Contra?
Deregulated steel mills. Broke my
town. No. What did that have to do with the NBA? The NBA did. There's nothing in the 80s. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Julius Erving. There was no political strife in the NBA in the 80s ever.
No, I'm not talking about the political strife in the NBA. I'm talking about the life. Never changed. Athletes were not as conscious in the 80s as they were in the 60s. They took a back seat. But you got to remember right now, Sterling Brown got beat up last year. Thabo Cephalosius got his leg broke by the New York police. Anquan Boldin's cousin was killed in New Orleans. Stephen Jackson knew George Floyd. These things are touching them. You know,
and Ramon, that's all. Guess what? That's awesome. And guess what? It's awesome that they found a voice and they use a stage. But the game itself, I will continue to disagree. When I'm watching the game, before the game you want to do it, after the game you want to do it, I'm all for it. I think peaceful protest to me, you've never found a bigger supporter of that in the world than me. I think I love political discourse and I love people having a voice. But I'm not there if I'm watching a baseball game, if I'm watching a football game. During the game, I'm there for that. And that's just where I don't want any message squelched. But during the game, that's not what I'm there for. And I appreciate your call, but that's not what I'm consuming. Let me get to T.A. in Richmond. T.A., what's going on this morning?
Good morning, Jake. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, T.A. What's up, buddy?
Hey, just wanted to call in. I had an opinion that I
want
to answer. It's cool. And then I have an actual sports question after that as well.
Sure, go for it.
When people, I guess, I'm kind of lost a little bit, not fully, but when people say they're not going to watch the sport anymore,
that's crazy.
I'm kind of lost. It's like, do you really care about the sport? And then from there, my question goes into like, I'm assuming based on the conversation, these people are saying that they're not watching because they're patriots. My thing is, if you're a real patriot and your fellow countryman who looks different than you is having an outcry about something, would you? Why do you not really care? Not particularly you, but like just like
no. T.A. Let me first of all, T.A. That you'll never. I'm one of the sheep. they're never going to hear me say I'm not watching or I'm turning it off. Now turning off a show like College Game Day when it becomes too much, yes, I can do that. But the game itself, no, I'm not turning it off. But I will tell you this, if anyone claims to be a patriot and they are absolutely against, if they are part of the shut up and dribble crowd, they're not a patriot. They're not a patriot.
Thank you.
Because this entire country is based on the fact that people came here for the ability to have a voice, for the ability to voice opinions and to have contrary opinions and to be able to go back and forth on it. So it drives me crazy when I hear that. There's a talk show host. I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to give him the credit. The idea of, no, you're a great American. No, you're a great American. No, you're a great American. That is such crap to me.
Right.
Because I didn't, I'm not black, I'm not Hispanic, I'm not Asian, I'm not a woman, I don't believe that there's levels of patriotism, and more importantly, in agreeing.
Right.
I think we are born in a country of disagreement that thrives in the disagreement where it actually can cause positive change. And by the way, as bad as people try to make out America to be, and I love to say it, TA, go look at the numbers every year. How many people are trying to get in here and how many people are trying to get out of here? We are the greatest experiment in the world, and it's successful, and we'll work our way through this. And I appreciate your call because I got to run. Appreciate your call. Thank you, TA. All right. Anthony, are you ready? Are you ready?
Let's go.
Let's play out the NFL playoffs for everyone. This may be anticlimactic for some because you're finding out. First of all, you found out maybe your team isn't even in. And again, I'll recap. Let's do AFC first. The Ravens, the top seed, will have the bye week because I don't think as much of their division. But then you've got the Bills, Chiefs, Titans, Colts, Texans, Steelers is mine. So my first round matchups in the AFC, I have the Bills over the Steelers, the Chiefs over the Texans, and then the Colts upsetting the Titans. So I have the Colts going to the second round, the divisional round of the AFC playoffs, where I have the Ravens dispatching of the Colts, and I have the Bills at home defeating the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in the divisional round. And in the AFC championship game, I have the Buffalo Bills advancing to Super Bowl 55. Anthony, play it out for me. Who's showing up in the Super Bowl out of the AFC?
All right, so in the AFC, my first round matchups, we have the Chiefs against the Raiders with the Chiefs coming out on top. I have the Bills defeating the New England Patriots,
okay,
and then the Pittsburgh Steelers moving on as they defeat the Houston Texans. So,
well, do they upset the Texans?
They're upsetting the Texans. So
have
Baltimore versus Pittsburgh in the next round with the Ravens advancing to the AFC title game. And then I have Kansas City and Buffalo with Buffalo getting the win over the Chiefs, and they will take on the Ravens in the AFC title game with the Baltimore Ravens prevailing and moving on to the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay.
So you and I both have the Ravens and the Bills in the AFC championship game. So we took a different path to get there, but both of us have Bills-Ravens AFC championship game. You have the Ravens going to the Super Bowl. I have the Bills going. Let's go to the NFC. Vikings were my number one seed. So I have the 2-seed 49ers taking on the Falcons. They'll beat the Falcons. I have the 3-seed Eagles beating the Seahawks when it matters and winning. And then I have the Dallas Cowboys upsetting the New Orleans Saints. So the Cowboys advance to the next round. In the divisional playoffs, the top seed Vikings beat the Cowboys. And the 2-seed 49ers squelch the Eagles. So my NFC championship game is the Vikings and the 49ers, and the Vikings will go to Super Bowl 55. In my Super Bowl, Vikings-Bills. Tell me who your Super Bowl matchup is. go through the NFC.
All right, so my number one seed in the NFC was Seattle. So my first round matchups, I have New Orleans and Tampa Bay 2-7. And I have an upset here.
Tampa?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, they are beating New Orleans to move on. And then I have another upset in this next matchup. I'm taking the Rams over the Cowboys in the 3-6. So the Rams are moving on to the next round. And then my last first round matchup, Green Bay and San Francisco. I have the 49ers knocking out the Packers. So next round, second round, we have Seattle versus Tampa Bay. It ends here for the Buccaneers. I have Seattle advancing the one seed to the NFC title game. San Francisco versus the Rams. I have the Rams again winning. Another win for L.A. L.A. is going to the NFC title game to take on Seattle. But again, it ends here for them as the number one seed Seahawks prevail. They're going to the Super Bowl to take on the Ravens.
So you have Seahawks Ravens Super Bowl, and I have Vikings Bills Super Bowl. And I saw one of the greatest moments of my entire life. Next to my daughter being born, the day I married my bride, and my remission date from my second cancer. I'm putting it right there with it. I'm putting it right there with all of them. I saw my Eagles win a Super Bowl in Minnesota. And this year, I think the Viking fans finally have their dreams come true. I have the Vikings beating the Bills and the Vikings winning Super Bowl 55. Crazy. Craziest thing I've ever predicted. Anthony?
Russell Wilson, he will get the other one. He will get number two.
Russ gets two.
The one that he should have had already, he's going to get it now. Russell Wilson.
So his third trip to the Super Bowl and his second time as a champion. I go Vikings, you go Seahawks. But we both love the Bills. We both love the Bills a lot, which I thought was we're both doubling down on the Bills.
Giving a lot of love to the Rams this year, I am.
You really are. You really are. I know everybody
I just feel like, they were 9-7 last year. It wasn't like they won four or five games last year. They won, they did win nine games.
Well,
that's
they
a very talented roster.
And you have a coach. You know what? Why I don't like the Rams pick? Because I hate their offensive line.
They had a lot of injuries last year.
They did.
Goff had three different centers that were snapping him the football last year.
And I wanted to find a way to put the Eagles or the Cowboys, because I think that they're paper thin apart. And I wanted to find a way to put one of them in the NFC Championship game, and I couldn't. I just couldn't. Just couldn't do it. So, there you go. There's our NFL predictions for 2020. We play it out, and next Sunday, we'll have our first NFL Sunday here on the John Kincaid Show. And just so you know, 4-hour edition of the John Kincaid Show Sundays. So check it on out. We will continue to be 4 hours, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern time. So we appreciate that. Chris in Alabama joins us. Chris, you're on the John Kincaid Show. Good morning.
John Kincaid, I have to say, I understand where you come from.
Okay.
But you say that you're just here for sports. And that indeed is fair. During the game, I agree with
you. Yes.
As well as though, you can't necessarily avoid issues that clearly we are divided on. Like, we all want to stand as one nation under God. But, I mean, if there's just one soul that feels remiss to this vernacular, then, I mean, that should be all it takes. And that should really empathize with you. Like, sure, you're just here for...
Chris, Chris. You can empathize, and you can absolutely be quote-unquote down with the cause, and you can still just want the games to be the games. LeBron James doesn't need...
The games, though.
What?
The games are the games, though.
No, they aren't. Have you watched the coverage? It is not.
They're being played. Where's the issue?
It's the coverage of it being in the game, being incorporated into the game. It's the discussions
game.
What?
That's because literally people are starting to prioritize the fact that, like, sure, we're playing sports at the same time. After we leave this court, we have to go on everyday life as an American citizen, just like you and me.
Okay.
And honestly, that's kind of what the issue is like.
Well, wait a minute then. Okay, so then, so bear with me here. So then, when you go to Walmart, why would this be any different? When you go to a restaurant, why would this be any different? When you go to a movie, should we stop a movie in the middle and start talking about the issues of the day? No. There are times where we have to talk about the things that are important, and then there are times where people are looking for escape. That's why they call it entertainment.
I'm saying you can't use sports entertainment as a safe space. Really, we can't.
Not a safe space. It's not a safe space. No, because
Muhammad Ali literally told straight up, how would I go fight a war when I'm at war in my own country?
And guess what? That is Muhammad, and Muhammad Ali can do that, and that's awesome, and he is a legend. And guess what? Then you know what the NBA players should do then, if that's the case? Then they shouldn't play. They shouldn't play, right? If we're going to bring Muhammad Ali into it, right? Then they shouldn't play. Then don't play the games, because there are more important things, right?
I honestly believe that. You're right. Maybe we should, because honestly, I believe that. That's why I was a little behind Kyrie Irving when we first started. We shouldn't even be playing, because America doesn't deserve sports anymore.
America doesn't deserve sports? Tell me this. Does Europe deserve sports?
Why are you bringing Europe into this?
Because you've brought America into it. Does England deserve? Does England deserve sports? Does Italy? Does Italy? I'm asking you. You said America doesn't deserve sports anymore. What are you talking about? Because guess what? Again, look at the world. And here's just what I'm going to challenge you with: look at the world. How many people are begging to come here? Flooding here from every country on earth, begging, banging on the door, willing to try to get in illegally or legally to try to come here. And how many Americans are looking to leave? Yes, there are problems. And guess what? Yes, we have to fix them. We've got to fix them. But when you say, I got to run. I'm running up on time here. Appreciate your call. When you're talking about America doesn't deserve sports, that's garbage. It's garbage. That is absolutely a joke. And if you feel that, and if an athlete feels that way, then they shouldn't play. It's far too important for them to waste their time doing their job. And by the way, if you work at Walmart, if you're an anchorman on the news, if you're a rock star, if you're a rapper, if you're otherwise, it's too important. There are too many things going on. You shouldn't be doing your job. According to what you're saying to me there. You shouldn't be doing your job. It's too important. It's crazy to me. 855-212-4CBS. You can get in with us. It's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. He really wants to hear from you, even if he doesn't always act like it. Call the John Kincaid Show now at 855-212-4CBS.
We'll review what's going on in the world of college football with Zach Barnett from College Football, from Football Scoop, coming up in just a few moments. Have conversation there. I am baffled, honestly, by the logic behind the last call. America doesn't deserve sports anymore. One of our fine listeners here, a gentleman who is very clearly I'm not going to tell you who he works for. He works for a political candidate, and he's on the left side of the political spectrum. He said, John, I'm an African-American man. I'm 48 years old, and I'm currently working for a political campaign. Please do not mention the candidate I'm working for. It'll appear at the bottom of my email. And it does. He says America doesn't deserve sports. He said that America doesn't deserve rap music. And America doesn't deserve television shows and movies. America doesn't deserve any kind of entertainment then. He says, I don't know where that guy was going. He says, I disagree with you often. I've been inspired to call. I found your email address and wanted to send you an email. And I appreciate that. And look, we disagree, and that's great, and that's awesome. Another person here on social media saying that for every one person that wants to leave the United States of America and leave this country, applying for citizenship in another country, he said, I can only go off 2017 numbers. They were the quickest that I could find. There are 15,740 that want to come in. I do not know. He's telling me these numbers. He's quoting the numbers. He says it's 15,740 to one. Problems? Is this perfect? No. That's why we're trying to form a more perfect union. It's never going to be perfect. And the discourse is awesome. There is no such thing as shut up and dribble, which is like the biggest fake argument out there. Oh, you guys want people to shut up and dribble. No. Every single player, every single person, every single should use their forum, their personal time to advance whatever cause they wish. But in sports, I think it's dangerous. Doc in Jacksonville joins us. I have a brother named Doc. How are you, Doc?
Hey, good morning, guys. I am really enjoying the show, but it seems like America has been dumbed down, or we're losing our common sense, because sports should be the great uniter. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're sitting out there in the stand, you could be a white bum standing near a black lawyer and enjoying the game. But now sports is becoming a divider. If you are at a business meeting with your job and you take a knee during the meeting, they're going to think you're crazy. My issue is, if you got a problem with McDonald's, you don't take the burger back to Pizza Hut to complain. When you, like Colin Kaepernick, he would have had everybody left and right on his side with the issue that he had to take a knee, take it to City Hall, to the police station, and complain. Both sides will be behind you. I don't want to pay to come see a game to see all. They will lose fans. They're going to lose fans. I'm an African-American, and I don't pay to go to a game for that foolishness. I come to have fun with whoever's around me and to be united. That's what sports is about. We are losing the whole point of view of what sports is about. It's to get away and for entertainment. I'm telling you guys, we are, and somebody said Tim Tebow versus this guy. Well, they didn't even want Tim Tebow in. They had to complain about Tim Tebow in.
Tim Tebow was not embraced by. It wasn't embraced. Tim Tebow was getting critiqued for it, because honestly, it's the idea. And Doc, I appreciate your call. I got to run. I think people forget. Yes, celebrity doesn't mean you bring it to the job when you're doing the job. When you're off the job, your celebrity affords you to have a stage, have a forum, that people are going to pay attention to what you talk about. Mike in Brooklyn joins us. Mike, how are you? Mike, how is Brooklyn, by the way? I love Brooklyn.
It's good. I'm actually driving. I'm driving to South Carolina right now.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah. So
you're coming towards it. You're coming towards Atlanta.
Yeah, we're coming towards Atlanta.
So, you're coming to my town. You're coming to my town. That's good. All right, buddy.
Well, I'm a little baffled, confused by the last two callers, but
okay.
I just want to get my perspective.
Sure.
So I think the divider is, for instance, when we look at football, football has all these causes, support the troops, cancer awareness, and now we're doing support your cause and put your calls in your cleats. But nobody really wants to talk about the causes. And normally, at this time right now, we will be talking about Kaepernick not having a job. And the last caller was bringing up Tebow, and it was like, but yeah, but Tebow got another job with the Jets. But Kaepernick hasn't gotten a job, so sports has been a divider, because we have seen a person who lead a team to a Super Bowl can't get work, and the NFL trying to find loopholes to get out of collusion. And then we look at basketball. Yeah, I know our president mentioned about ratings being low and stuff like that, people not watching. But what he's not being honest about is that people are cord cutting, and most people don't have cable, or games are at 1 o'clock when people are in Zoom meetings. So there's a lot of numbers and stuff that we're not seeing, that people try to use their own confirmation bias.
Okay, now let me give you, Mike. First of all, they haven't been having 1 o'clock games for a while now. That was before. Their ratings even in this series, even in this weekend series, where right. now we're into this the final eight just putting it down there, their right. ratings are down 27%, and those games aren't being played at 1 o'clock.
They're being played. If you look at Nuggets and Utah Jazz Game 7, or you look at Houston yes. and OKC, those are nationally televised games on ABC, and the numbers were at and. You'll see the numbers between the viewerships of the 18 to 30-year-olds. The numbers were right where they were supposed to be.
And you're cherry picking a couple games, and that's what you're doing. So you're doing exactly what they did. I gotta run, get the next person. But you're cherry picking a couple games. Overall, down 27%. That's the fact. Overall, down 27%. And yes, absolutely, there are reasons and there are excuses. And you gave a couple valid reasons, and there are reasons when games are on. People can't do it. They can't watch, maybe time-wise. Maybe it doesn't allow them to watch it. There are reasons and there are excuses. The primetime games, especially in the weekend games, there should be no excuse. James in Wisconsin joins us. James, what's going on this morning, brother?
What's going on, buddy? Always
good to
hear from you.
Good to hear you, John.
I don't agree with some of your stances, but I'm not here for that. Okay, so
we always have a good dialogue.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just gonna piggyback because that was my point with the other guy. I think he kind of missed some of the point. The streaming and YouTube and Hulu Sports and all that stuff is up. The reason why I'm gonna give you a little education on how algorithms and stuff works with live TV. Okay.
You're gonna give me rating. I'm in the media, and you're gonna tell me how ratings work. Okay.
No, I'm not talking about...
You said you're going to give me an education. I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you, you're not going to tell me anything that I don't know. So go on.
Okay. Well, I was before you really interrupted me, I didn't say anything about rating. I said algorithm.
Okay.
That's the first thing I said. Okay. So in order for a live feed, okay, so I'm going to put it to you like this. You know how Facebook gets those live feeds and then it goes like viral and things
yes,
like that,
yes.
And you see millions of viewers, okay? Most of those things go viral because it's at a standstill video, so you can rebroadcast it. The first thing you hear in sports, whether it's NBA, NFL, or whatever, what's the first thing you hear? This is content of the NBA.
Correct.
Cannot be rebroadcast, redistribution,
right.
and all that good stuff. So it's hard to track those live sports numbers from YouTube and Amazon and who?
Okay, why is baseball? Why are baseball, golf, and the NHL? Why are they both up?
They're up because okay. They're up. They're supposed to be up because
why?
Listen. I'm not one of those guys.
No. Why are they up? Why are they up? Why is golf up 25%?
They're up because look at the ratings they went off of last year. Remember last year we had the conversation that baseball ratings was down. So you went off the ratings of last, right? And now you're going off the ratings versus last year versus this year, and the ratings are up.
And exactly. So why are they up?
They're up because the people are more at home. People are more at home, and your generation is more prone to baseball. It's just the fact.
What? Okay, now you lost. You lost. You're lost on this one. Thank you. You've lost. Golf, NBA, NHL, and all the sports that are back are experiencing some sort of a bump. Look, I mean, it's the numbers are the numbers, and I get you. And all your streaming and all your algorithms, I get it. Bottom line is, if you're not seeing it, you're not seeing it. If you're not seeing it, you're not seeing it. And a business model, we're gonna see how it pays off in the future for the NBA.
We always serve football with a side of strong opinion. Now back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, we still got to wait a few more weeks to hear this happy tune. But college football is back. It's being played. Next weekend, we get more well, let's just say major conference A-list teams taking to the field for the first time. Zach Barnett follows it all, covering college football for Football Scoop, and he joins me here on the JK Show, CBS Sports Radio. That music to me, Zach, tells me it's not going to be 95 degrees anymore, and there's going to be crisp, cool air, which is what I'm really praying for, and we're going to see real big-time college football, and I can't wait for it. How you doing today?
Oh, my gosh. I nearly fainted when you started playing that music. I'm so ready for it.
You're ready for it. And I think people are really ready for it, too. Do you find that with your readers, your followers, that they're just they're dying for this to get back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were all yesterday afternoon, we had Eastern Kentucky losing to Marshall 59-0, I think.
That was a bad game, but
beating Middle Tennessee 42-49-0. And no one was complaining. Those were terrible, horrible, uninteresting games, but we were all grateful for it because starving people don't complain about the food they're given.
Absolutely. Now, I had a caller earlier this morning tell me America doesn't deserve sports anymore, so I've been losing my mind over that for like a half hour, so it's good to be able to talk with you. So, as this progresses, yesterday, story breaks about Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt does not have a scrimmage because he holds 44 players out, and they run with the scary headline, when in reality, 7 players testing positive and keeping out 37 people due to contact tracing. There are a lot of people that I think are really saying, wait a minute, my opinion's going to be right eventually. It's going to be right. They shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, the contact tracing really is the biggest hurdle that we're going to have to clear at this point. It's not necessarily players getting infected. It's just the players that they live, the players who are infected living with or
walking proximity
next to, meeting with, that are the biggest hurdle. And I think the perspective that I've tried to have, that I've tried to keep moving forward, is that, it's new that, Tennessee couldn't scrimmage yesterday because they had 44 players that were unavailable. But it's also new that SMU and Texas State played, and North Texas and Houston Baptist played, and so on and so forth. That's just as newsworthy. The games that happen are just as newsworthy as the games that don't. And I think we would all be well served to keep that in mind, although unfortunately I think I'm fighting a losing battle there.
I think you really are. And that is a shame because, again, this has become very much sort of it's like a political football. I put it more as members of the media just wanting to be right. And I fall victim to that sometimes. I want to be right very, very much when I have an opinion, when I have a stance. I'm hoping to be right. But this is about getting these teams back on the field. And right now, there's a lot of talk about the Pac-12 and the Big Ten sort of wanting things to hold up. They want things to be held up, but maybe we could hold up and then have the college football playoff. Maybe we can hold up and do something. I'm like, wait a minute. If the Pac-12 and the Big Ten decide to ignore the science that the SEC, Big 12, and the ACC have gotten, they get what they get, right?
Well, it's funny. The Pac-12 and the Big Ten came to the same decision at nearly the exact same time, but the response could not be more different. I mean, the Pac-12 showed their work. They released 12-page report explaining why they came to their decision, and you haven't heard a peep of discontent out of the West Coast. And certainly a lot of that is fact to do that they're just not as passionate about football, but that doesn't mean just because they're not as passionate doesn't mean they don't care. I mean, those players, those coaches, those teams, they care tremendously, and they want to play just as bad as everyone else. But, that conference has been forthright and forthcoming about the decision they came to. And then, the big news this week was that they have reached an agreement to have daily testings coming here in a few weeks. And so, they're on the comeback trail. Meanwhile, the Big Ten, it's been leak central in that conference because there's been no communication. Even it's been now, we're almost a month since they've canceled, and they still don't have a plan. They don't have any sort of daily testing breakthrough. There's been zero official communication. So in the absence of real information, we get a black market of sources and leaks from who knows what's you know, most likely from the coaches and ADs, people that want to push their own agenda that don't really have a say in what actually happens.
The Zach Barnett, thanks, Philippe, for joining me here from Football Scoop. So let's get to it. If I was to tell you, all I'm reading is Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma. Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and then there's a lot of people seem to be leaning Georgia. If there was a college football playoff between the three conferences, do any of those three teams, are they even seriously in danger? Any of those three teams, if I was just to give you Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma to be challenged?
You know, it's funny, ESPN, their FPI or whatever it is, gave Clemson an 89% chance to make the playoff. And at first, I was just shocked because 89% is a huge number when they've still got 11 games ahead of them. But at the same time, I couldn't disagree with it. I have a really hard time not seeing Clemson make the playoff, especially, you know, this season, given that the competition is going to be so much less for those four spots. I don't really think Oklahoma is going to make it. I think their offense has a chance to actually be better. At least their passing game has a chance to be better than it was at the end of the season. Their offense is really broken by the end of the year by Oklahoma standards. But I think Texas is just better than them. I think they've got better. I think their coaching is going to be on an equal level as Oklahoma, and their talent's better. So I think Texas is going to get over the hump. And you know, Alabama, I think, you know, they had a really down year by Alabama standards last year, and they still finished in the top 10. So they're still so talented, even though they lose Tua, and they do have to play Georgia, they do have to play LSU in an SEC schedule. But I'll be really, really surprised if Clemson doesn't make it. I'll be really surprised if Alabama doesn't make it, and I won't be surprised at all if Oklahoma doesn't make it.
Let's get to some of those other stories, though. Give me a program or two that I've got to watch. A program or two that I got to watch out for that you believe this year could make a splash that maybe people aren't talking about right now.
A lot of people in Big 12 country are really excited about Iowa State. This is a team that, you know, if they make the Big 12 championship, a lot of people will be saying, "I told you so." And, you know, if they win that game, a lot of people will be saying, they've got Brock Purdy's a really good underrated quarterback, really fun, you know, college specific quarterback. They've got great tight end play. They've got great linebacker play. They're really well coached. They're really sound. I mean, they came a 2-point pass away last year from beating Iowa State in Norman, which would have been their second straight. Or from beating Oklahoma in Norman, which would have been their second straight win in Norman. Obviously, and they get Oklahoma at home this year. They beat Texas last year, so this is a really good team. I think they had a chance to be this year's Baylor in that conference. And then I'm really excited about Tennessee, given obviously let's hope they get those 44 players back. But, you know, the way they started, they were a disaster last year, losing to Georgia State, losing to BYU. And then they ended up being a competent team this year. And their quarterback, Jarrett Garantano, is back for, I believe it's his 12th season in Knoxville.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Man.
And, you know, this could be an 8-9 win team that, you know, if things break the right way, then maybe we get to November and they're still in the conversation to get to Atlanta for the SEC championship.
Zach, looking forward to the college football season right around the corner and some big games coming up in just a few weeks, which is exciting. We'll get to see some of the contenders get into action. So appreciate your call, and we're going to have to check you out on follow along on Twitter and read your stuff with Football Scoop. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Zach. Zach joined us here on the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio. And we've got we'll have real games coming here. The real games are coming. It was just good to see any kind of college football yesterday. And yes, there were some bad games. I mean, I know everybody's looking for it. We're all looking for it, but man, there were some bad games. Anthony, four states is my line of the day for you in the NHL. Four states remain. And in the year of COVID, they have all been COVID hotbeds. You got Florida taking on the state of New York. And you have Nevada, and you have Nevada, who has been hot just recently more, taking on the state of Texas. In the year of COVID, we have four American states that have truly lived through coronavirus at various different times, highs, lows, and otherwise, and we finally get to see them compete for the Stanley Cup.
Now we're all in Edmonton together, ready to battle it out.
We're all in Edmonton, Alberta. Oh, my gosh. Edmonton, Alberta. That's where it all gets played out. Sometimes you just sometimes you get what you deserve. Now, does America deserve the NHL? Because we had that call earlier. By the way, that got a lot of reaction.
I think we do.
That got a lot of reaction from people. People just appalled at that statement. America doesn't deserve sports.
Well, where do you draw the line then if you're going to say that?
And that's what I say, is that then America doesn't deserve anything, right? There's no entertainment that we deserve. I could tell you that we don't deserve. I'm trying to think of other things we don't deserve. There are a lot of bad movies. There are certain things we don't need. I don't need another Ben Affleck movie. America doesn't deserve another Ben Affleck movie. If we're going to start playing this game, there's a lot of things America doesn't deserve. Please, another Real Housewives show. America doesn't deserve that either. All right, coming up, I've told you that the Vikings and the Bills are going to the Super Bowl. And a lot of you think I'm nuts. We'll get to that next. Final hour of the John Kincaid Show, coming your way on CBS Sports Radio.